Well, for really, I guess, months now, we've been talking about five kinds of healing, right? Physical healing, inner healing, which is healing of our minds, emotional healing, which is healing of our emotions or our memories. We've talked about deliverance healing, which is healing from demonic oppression. And today, we're going to talk about spiritual healing. And spiritual healing is all about forgiveness and being forgiven. Actually, spiritual healing allows us to get victory over sin in our lives. Would you like that? That'd be nice, right? Get victory. Spiritual healing is all about forgiveness. It's all about discovering and dealing with these three areas of our lives. The first is the places where we're holding unforgiveness, places where we're holding grudges, and we let God help us let go of those things so we can be healed. The second area that spiritual healing deals with is sin and disobedience. And there's a little trick here to the way spiritual healing works, because the first area, unforgiveness, if you don't forgive other people, God can't work with you in the second area, which is to forgive you. So those two really work together. And then the third area that spiritual healing works in is a walk of innocence. When you've been healed spiritually, to complete that work, you come to a place where you truly understand that God is absolutely not condemning you. And you know, not just intellectually, but you know down in your heart that you're innocent and you're righteous, and you're able to both live in that and walk in that knowledge that you're now innocent. And what we're going to do today, this teaching, we're going to at least start the teaching today. We'll probably finish it next time. And we're going to do this teaching in layers. I've already covered the first layer, which is kind of an overview of spiritual healing. Since spiritual healing involves forgiveness, we're going to talk some about sin. And I think you'll find some surprising things in that. And then we're going to go into a little more detail about spiritual healing. And then we're going to have some fun. We're going to go through the how do you know you need spiritual healing? You know, you need spiritual healing if. And I think we'll have some fun with that. And then we're going to talk some about the process of spiritual healing. And last but not least, the last layer is what kind of things can either hinder us in receiving spiritual healing, or what kind of things can help us along in receiving spiritual healing. So if spiritual healing is all about forgiving and being forgiven, especially about being forgiven from sin, then what is sin anyhow? I'm going to give you my definition, okay? It's pretty simple. Sin is knowingly disobeying a law or command of God. We sin when we knowingly disobey a law or a command of God. I have a relative. We were over at his house one time for a meal, and as he was saying the blessing, one of the things he said was, "And Lord, forgive us of our many sins." And he said this at every blessing over food. And so just casually over the meal, I asked him, "What does that mean to you? Lord, forgive us of our many sins." He said, "Well, you know, we're just human beings. We're just sinning all the time. I mean, by breathing, I'm just sinning by breathing." And I thought, no, I don't think that's right. I don't think we're just sinning by breathing. Okay, I think you have to break a command or law of God to sin. Now, technically, even if you don't know that it's a sin and you break that law, I guess it's probably still a sin. But it doesn't get counted against you unless you knew that it was wrong before you did it. And I want to prove that to you from the Word. Turn to Romans 4. Romans 4, and we're going to look at verse 15. Keep your finger in Romans. We're going to look at several scriptures in Romans. Romans 4 and 15 reads, "For the law brings about wrath, but where there is no law, neither is there violation." In other words, if you don't know the law exists, then you cannot be held accountable for violating that law. Don't believe that? Look at what Jesus said, John 15. The Gospel of John, chapter 15, verse 22. Jesus is talking to his disciples here about the religious leaders of their day. And he said, if I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin. Now, the literal translation is, if I had not come and spoken to him, they would have no violation. In other words, violation of the law. But now, they have no excuse for their sin. You see, the implication of that is, had I not told them about their sin, they'd have had an excuse. They wouldn't have been found guilty. Go back to Romans 2, verse 12. For all who have sinned without the law will also perish without the law. Now, when Paul is talking about perishing, what happens after perishing? The next thing that happens is judgment. So he's talking about those who perish without the law are judged without the law. And all who have sinned under the law, that is, knowing the law, will be judged by the law. And then if you continue reading in verse 13, he brings up a concept here that you don't hear about much, and that is that our conscience becomes the arbitrator for what we get charged with sin for. Because he says, for not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law are justified. And then listen, he says, for when Gentiles who don't have the law, they don't know the commands of God, but they do have instinctively the things of the law written on their hearts, on the inside of themselves. In that, they show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience bearing witness, and their thoughts alternately accusing or defending them. On that day when, according to my gospel, God will judge the secrets of men through Christ Jesus. There's a lot of implications about that, especially related to the natives in Borneo that never have heard the gospel, and maybe we'll talk about that sometime. But the point is that sin is when I know something is wrong, and I do it anyway. It gets counted against me for sin at that point. I was talking to a man during a prison ministry session, and this guy was in prison because he had murdered someone. And so we're talking about what he had done, and I asked him, well, how come you murdered this guy? How come you killed him? Well, he got in my way. What do you mean he got in your way? Well, I wanted to go over there and watch television. He wouldn't move out of my way, so I killed him. Well, how do you feel about that? He shouldn't have gotten in my way. I mean, he had just no remorse at all. His conscience was clean. And I wonder about that sometimes. What about these people that have absolutely no conscience? How does God judge folks like that? I mean, that's strange. But what's the big deal about sin anyway? You know, another relative of mine, they used to say, well, you know what, as long as you don't hurt anybody else, well, that's okay. God doesn't care what people do down here on this earth, as long as they don't hurt anybody. As long as you're not hurting anybody else, well, it doesn't make any difference what you do. Of course, she was trying to justify her own actions. So I got that question for you, is so what? So what if we sin? Big deal. What difference does it make? And, of course, a lot of folks can say, well, you go to hell if you sin. Hey, I got one worse than that. Turn to Isaiah 59. Let's see if you need to keep your finger in Romans. No, you don't. Okay. Isaiah 59. When we sin, we break our relationship with our Creator. I mean, in the simplest form, that's what happened with Adam and Eve, isn't it? They sinned, and what happened? All of a sudden, they were kicked out of the garden. They were kicked out of intimate fellowship with God. And in Isaiah 59:2, we read, but your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. Our sin actually breaks our relationship with our loving Heavenly Father. And that's why we need to be healed. And that's what the healing process of spiritual healing really is. It's bringing us back into right relationship with our God. It reconciles us. It puts us back into a place of intimate fellowship with really the only person in the universe who truly loves us. So we want to be free from sin. We want to be clean in that area. We want to have our relationship restored. Let me tell you, I want to talk just a minute about kind of a special category of sin, and that's unforgiveness. Did you know that? Did you know that holding a grudge isn't just a stupid thing to do, but it's actually a sin? Turn to Mark 11. There are several scriptures we could go to. This is just one of them to make the point this morning. Mark 11, the very first phrase in verse 25, says, Jesus is talking, and he says, when you stand praying, forgive. Now, to me, that is a very clear, unambiguous command of God. You've got to forgive. To knowingly break that commandment, to knowingly hold on to a grudge or unforgiveness, then, is sin, right? Look at Hebrews 12. To me, unforgiveness is really just a form of bitterness. Or unforgiveness brings bitterness. It comes from bitterness. I don't know exactly how you might describe it, but to me, they're all the same thing. I'm bitter when I'm holding unforgiveness. And in Hebrews 12:15, the writer talks about, see to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by it many will be defiled. You know what he's saying here? He says bitterness is not just a sin and something that causes trouble in your life. It's going to cause trouble in the lives of those around you. It's going to defile them. What does the word defile mean? It means make them unclean or ceremonially unclean. That's the same thing as saying they're walking in a place of sin. Father Phil posted on Facebook a few months ago a saying that I will remember forever. I think it's a great saying about bitterness and unforgiveness. And this is it. Unforgiveness is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. And that's exactly what we do. Now, bitterness can come from lots of places. The probably most prominent place it comes from is somebody's done you wrong. I had to come to a place in my life where I realized I was actually bitter and holding a grudge against my dad. Now, my dad was a great father in a lot of ways, especially when us boys were young. But as we got older, it was like the frustrations of his life started coming out, and it started causing trouble for us boys. I had asthma then, and Daddy would want me to go out and help him work on the farm. And especially in the wintertime, it was hard for me to do a whole lot of work out on the farm. I remember one time we'd cut a big tree down. Now, this was at least before the days of chainsaws on our farm. I don't know if they'd been invented yet, but we certainly didn't have one. And this tree was as big around than I am, and we were using one of these cross-cut saws, you know, where you got two people, one on each end, and you're cutting like that. And after a while, I just couldn't breathe. I mean, I was turning blue and had to go in the house because of asthma. Very cold out. The day about like today, as a matter of fact. And he just got so angry with me because I couldn't be out there and work with him. Well, he loved sports. My brother Dave was a natural athlete. I mean, he was good at any sport he ever played. And although I'm not a total klutz, I am not an athlete, okay? And again, that bugged my dad. And so my brother got all the accolades because he was the great sports star. And I sort of got all the condemnation because I couldn't do things my dad wanted me to do. And that caused a lot of bitterness, but I had pushed that bitterness down on the inside of me. I'd pushed it far down on the inside. I didn't know it was there. Now, it was causing trouble in my life, but I didn't know what it was. At one point, I don't know, I guess you'd say I was confessing this to a pastor. I said, I know that I need to forgive my father. And so as we prayed, he helped me realize how much bitterness was there. And as we began to pray, boy, all of a sudden that bitterness began to come out. It was a very cathartic experience. But it was a very relieving experience as well, to let go of that bitterness and actually forgive him. I mean, you're supposed to love your father, right? You're supposed to love your mother. But sometimes the unforgiveness that we have for our parents and others close to us, we stuff it down on the inside because it's not okay, instead of dealing with it. Lord wants to help us deal with it in spiritual healing. Sometimes we get caught up in unforgiveness or bitterness because of something that's happened to somebody else. In other words, we take on bitterness for their sake. This happened with my mother a lot. It was not uncommon for her to be talking about how somebody done somebody else wrong, and I just don't understand it. I don't know why people act like that. I would never do anything like that. I can't believe they did that. And I mean, just on and on and on. She was taking on their bitterness. Sometimes life just doesn't work out, and we get bitter over it. I've got another relative that's like that. I mean, he's got kind of a crummy life, and he's got a crummy job, and his wife left him and left him with the kid, and just, I mean, every turn, nothing turns out right. And he is so negative, and nobody wants to be around him because all he does is gripe and complain, and he's just eat up with bitterness. Sometimes we get bitter because we're holding a grudge against ourselves. I remember the first time that I even realized that was a possibility. Again, I was talking to a pastor and said, I've done something wrong and I know I need to ask forgiveness. And as a matter of fact, I have asked forgiveness for it. And the pastor said, well, have you forgiven yourself yet? And I mean, you could have knocked me over with a feather. What do you mean forgiving my? I never thought about that. How can I be mad at me? Well, I was. And again, this was another time where there was a lot of tears and there was a lot of crying, but there was a lot of relief when it was over with, when I finally came to the place I could forgive myself. We won't talk about it a long time, but you know what? We can be bitter and hold a grudge against God, too. And again, this is hard because, hey, I'm supposed to love Him. How can I be mad at God? But we can be, and sometimes we have to deal with it. And the worst part about the sin of unforgiveness is how my holding on to unforgiveness blocks me from being forgiven. Turn to Matthew 6. This is a scary scripture. Matthew 6, verse 15. But if you do not forgive men, then your Father, meaning our Heavenly Father, will not forgive your transgressions. I think you could also translate that, if you do not forgive men their transgressions, then your Heavenly Father cannot forgive you your transgressions. Don't turn to this, but write down Matthew 18, verses 23 through 35. Those of you that are taking notes, read that parable. It makes this very clear what Jesus is talking about here. Okay, now, I want to show you a scripture. Turn to Genesis 4 and verse 7. I want to show you what I think is absolutely the best scripture in the Bible about spiritual healing. And it may not be obvious at first, but Genesis 4, verse 7. Now, God is talking to Cain here, and God says, if you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up, or will you not be happy? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door, and its desire is for you, and you must master it. Sin is crouching at the door, and it wants to eat you up. It wants to master you. Imagine a large, mean dog sitting outside your door at home, and he won't let you go outside. Remember when I was about 4, I think it was, I was petting a German Shepherd, and I ended up, as a 4-year-old might do, pulling on his ear, and he didn't like that, and he bit me in the face. Had some stitches over that. And I can tell you, I was frightened of dogs for a long time after that. Imagine a big, scary dog sitting outside your door and he won't let you outside the house. That's the way it is with sin. Sin rules over us. It binds us up. It entraps us. It enslaves us. And God tells Cain here, you're going to have to master that. Well, that's what the spiritual healing process is us mastering the sin that's in our life. To help define spiritual healing, let me share with you the prayer that I pray. It's maybe not exactly these words, but a prayer something like this I pray every day over those people that I'm responsible for in the Spirit. Lord, show us our unforgiveness and show us our grudges. Show them to us for the evil that they are. Give us your grace to want to let go of our bitterness and our unforgiveness. And show us, Lord, how to do that. Show us our sin and our rotten attitudes. Show us anything we're doing or thinking that's not pleasing to you. Give us grace, Lord, to see it for the evil that it is, and give us grace to let go of it and run away from it. Lord, show us how to give up our sin. Most merciful Father, forgive us our sins, and then, Lord, give us a revelation of what it means to be forgiven and cleansed. Let us know deep down that we are now truly innocent, that we are righteous before you. Show us how to walk in this innocence. Let us delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. You see, when I quit carrying around bitterness and unforgiveness, when I'm no longer carrying around a burden of guilt and shame for what I've done or for what I'm holding on to, then sin's power over me is lifted. And I can tell you this from experience. I can enjoy thinking about doing what's right and good. It's easy for me to hear God's will, to want to do God's will, because I don't have a history of failure in that area anymore. You see what I'm saying? If I really let God forgive me, if I really understand now I am innocent, I have no history of ever breaking God's laws. Man, when you start from that place, it's easy to serve God. It's easy to want to serve God. It's easy to want to not do those things that so easily beset us. That's spiritual healing. We're going to get into the process of spiritual healing next time. But for now, I want us to go through some of the you know you need spiritual healing when, okay? How do you know? What are the symptoms that you need spiritual healing? Well, you know you need spiritual healing when you spend a lot of time in the negative, when almost everything elicits either a negative thought or a negative comment by you. When you say, well, if anything bad is going to happen, it's going to happen to me. If you say that, you probably need spiritual healing. Had a customer like that one time in our company. We called him Eeyore because he was always, my law is me. If anything bad is going to happen, it's going to happen to me. And sure enough, we'd go out to lunch with this guy. I bet you I went to lunch with him maybe 10 or 12 times. Not one single time did they get his order right the first time. And on several occasions, they never got it right after two or three tries. And everybody else at the table, they got their order just fine. But not this guy. I mean, it's just a cloud, you know? You need spiritual healing if you say, let me tell you the latest. And then you start to unload on the person you're talking to about your latest surgery, your latest mess up in medication, your latest financial failure, your latest injury, something bad. And folks know when you come up to them, that's what you're going to talk about. If that's you, you need spiritual healing. One of the other ways you can tell is you never seem to understand why folks just can't do what's right. I've told them over and over how to do this, and they still can't get it right. What's wrong with them? And they say that a lot. They need spiritual healing. They were told how to do this, and I told them how to do it right, and they're not doing it, and I'm just going to have to finish it myself. And they say that a lot. They need spiritual healing, okay? I just get sick and tired of people not doing their job. And they don't say that once, but they say that a lot. How about this? You're seething with anger and bitterness towards somebody. Every time you see that person, you say something like, I could just pinch their head off. You ever heard anybody say that? Or, he'd better not come around me, or I'm going to give him what for. That person needs spiritual healing, okay? You rejoice when you hear that bad news has befallen this particular person. Yes, you probably need spiritual healing. That's how you know. You keep thinking about something that's happened to you, and you cringe and you feel ashamed about that. Maybe it's something you did, maybe it's something that was done to you, and you just can't escape it. You probably need spiritual healing in that area. If I just hadn't done that, man, everything would be so different. And you just keep thinking that over and over again. If they just hadn't done that to me, I'd be so much better off now. And that drives your life. You need spiritual healing. If I could have kept that get business going, we'd just be doing so well now. And you think about that often. Now, if I had just kept my mouth shut, we wouldn't be in this fix now. You probably need spiritual healing. Or how about the folks that keep asking for forgiveness for the same thing, and they ask for forgiveness over and over again? Oh God, I am so sorry. Please forgive me for that sin that I did that one time. And they just keep praying that prayer and praying that prayer and never get any relief. They need spiritual healing. We were talking about something the other day. My daughter was there, and somehow that subject came up, And she said, yeah, the devil tries to bring stuff to me all the time. She said, but I've learned how to deal with it. When he brings some of those bad thoughts to me, I just tell him, oh, no, devil, I'm not thinking about that. I'm going to think about a beautiful field of flowers in the summertime or something. And I just go on and off I go. Well, she's probably received spiritual healing. That's why she can deal with it that way. But the person that needs spiritual healing is the person that's always down, oh, I was just so awful. They never come to this place, see, where they understand, God's not condemning me anymore. I'm innocent. When I said, God, forgive me, he made me innocent. My mother was like this. She would just go over and over and over the same thing. I mean, stuff that she had done decades before. She was in her 70s before she started getting relief from that. And it was through a lot of counseling with me and a lot of prayer. She finally began to get some spiritual healing and begin to get relief from this and be able to enjoy her life. Listen, don't wait till you're in the autumn of your life to decide to start getting some spiritual healing, okay? Okay, here's another way you know. You find yourself being overcome by the same sin over and over again. Lord, why can't I stop doing this thing that I know is not right? That person needs spiritual healing. You find that you're hiding from God because you know what you've done and you just hate to admit it to him for the 100th time, and so you just kind of stay away. Maybe I should just end my life. That's the only way I can stop doing this evil. You'd be surprised how many folks have that thought go through their mind. They need spiritual healing. Or you walk around in a cloud feeling like you never do anything right. You sleep a lot. You can't stop playing computer games or watching TV. I dread going to work. I hope the boss doesn't talk to me today. You jump every time the phone to the doorbell rings. Oh no, what now? You probably need spiritual healing. You dread going to the grocery store because there's so many people there. We're working with a young man now who is in that kind of situation. He needs spiritual healing. I went through that when Debbie and I first married. I wanted to go to the grocery store and shop at midnight. Because there weren't any people there then. I just couldn't be in crowds. You need spiritual healing when you're going through that. Do you hear or see yourself in any of these things? If so, you probably need spiritual healing. And we're going to talk more next time about the process of spiritual healing, and we're going to really get into this concept that God doesn't condemn you and you're innocent and you can walk in that innocence. And I think we're going to have a good time next time. But now, for now, when we pray for you, Debbie and I certainly want to be able to pray for spiritual healing, but we really want to be able to pray for any kind of healing you might need. We are here as your servants to help minister. Let us be your ministering angels this morning and minister God's healing in any way.